Hello, welcome to the podcast Soul of Espoo. Today with me there is a special guest. I have the pastor Hans Krause. Welcome, Hans.
Thank you, David. Great to be here and for you for having me here.
Yes, I was thinking a lot about inviting you because you have been very important key person for a lot of happenings here in Espoo. And today we are discussing a little bit about Christian life in Espoo and the multicultural and international aspect of it. And I think you are one of the persons that who are expert in this, who can tell more about what is happening and why this is important. So feel free to tell about your experiences, and I think many people is interested to know more.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if I'm an expert in this, but I do have a lot of experience. I came to Finland as a foreigner 40 years ago, and from the very beginning I was involved in international church, first in Helsinki and then in the past 10 plus years here in Espoo, and it has been very important for me. It was a lifesaver when I came to Finland in the 1980s, and I see that international ministry in other languages than Finnish is still often a lifesaver for many people. And so I've put my heart and my time into this, and after being just a participant, maybe a leader on some levels, I finally became a pastor and been serving as an English pastor for the past 12 years now. And now being retired and looking back and trying to give my heritage to the new generation. But it's great to see also what happens in Espoo. There's a lot of very good developments going on.
Yeah, you have been a very important element in creating this international community. And I think many people who have moved to Espoo, they are new in the city or in the capital area. They know that is there's always challenges when people arrive to Finland. They don't understand the language. They are looking for a community. They are looking for new friends. They are looking for spiritual guidance, you know, for a service, for a community in that way. So it's difficult. For many people, it's difficult to find the place, for find their exactly their place where they feel comfortable, where they feel welcome, where they feel that they can bring their family, you know, and feel safe. And that way, I think what you have been doing is a big mission. It's a missionary work here in Espoo and also in Helsinki and Vanta.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that, because my first pastor here in Finland, Dr. Lloyd Swans, he always said that, you know, the mission field is in Helsinki. I don't think he wanted to exclude Espoo and Vanta, but you get the idea that actually we don't have to go out to the ends of the earth. There is a lot of mission work to be done. And now as we get to the 2020s and the 2030s quite soon, we even find that there are people from elsewhere in the world, like you and me, who are not Finns, and coming to do mission work here. What I noticed is that when people come to Finland from whatever background they come from, they need a home away from home, and they need a family away from home. And particularly when they're Christians and they want this spiritual family as well, it's really very hard to find that. And the needs for different people at different stages are also different. Like when you come from a very different kind of society, I think of many of my friends from, let's say, Nigeria, Kenya or so, when they come to Finland, they just need support. They need a lot of support of how does this work? How do I get around in Finland? And for them, peer support from other Nigerians or Kenyans is very important. So they will first seek out ethnic churches. And then, of course, there are many people like me. I come from the Netherlands. There is no Netherlands ethnic church here. So I would go to an international church where they use English, and there's people from dozens of different backgrounds. But the problem I noticed over the past 40 years is that these churches that meet in different languages, they tend to form like islands, and they become isolated, and it doesn't really help people get integrated in society or integrated in the church where the Finns come. Mm. And that's why at one time we realized that doing things in two languages, both the local language and the international language, English, that actually gives the best of both worlds, and that builds bridges between the islands and the mainland. We first tried that out in Helsinki, and that was a big success, and now we actually brought that to Finland as well, or to Espoo as well. And so we see that for people, it's much easier to find their place in the local parish, also in activities which do not use English at all, because then they know people, they know staff, they know participants. But also, it makes the local church, the Finns, much more aware of the fact that the Church of Christ is global, is international, and even in Finland, it is changing and becoming more multicultural.
Yes, yes. No, it's yeah, you are right. Yeah, these islands is something that it's kind of like these kind of groups get isolated. And of course, I understand from the being an immigrant myself also, I understand the comfortable situation where you speak your language and you are with your connationals, you know, sharing, of course, the gospel and so on. And I think that's about being comfortable. But at the same time, you just isolate yourself. And I think in that way, the best, of course, it will be always that the main church, which is the Lutheran church, will open their doors to people, you know, will give the space, will invite people to become part of the church. You know, why to create own islands? Why to create their own isolated groups when they can be just join the main body, the main church? And then they can be part of it, you know. I think we have enough space for it.
Yeah, and this is not just about the Finnish church trying to get more members, because now just read in the paper that, you know, there's only 1 or 2% of the foreigners who are a member of the Finnish church. Mm-hmm. And so with the membership going down and going below 50%, the church is really worried about where do we get new members from, and then they look at the foreigners. Well, that's of course one aspect. But the other aspect, which has been stressed for 40, 50 years, is that as the major church, as the market leader, you could say, we have a responsibility. We have the money, we have the churches, we have the staff, we have all the resources we need to serve foreigners. And so we have the responsibility to do that. And you, as well as I, we have had that stage where we just come to Finland and look at this world, this society and this church from a very different perspective than we may look at it now. But yes, it's very important that you feel welcome and that you feel that the doors open and people are there to welcome you.
Yes, I with this situation that we have a lot of newcomers to Finland, and we are expecting more comers. Newcomers, that means that Finland is in a huge need of immigration. Finland is a huge need of workers. You know, workforce has to be increasing in 10 years, 40,000 people or more. So that means that the people will go to different cities, different towns, you know, to live in different places. And it's going to be always the same question. Where is the community? Where I belong? Where I want to belong? Where I'm invited? And I think this is a very key issue that we will be asking now and later. It will come back. It will be there always, the question. Where do I invite someone? When I feel invited? Especially when we are talking about our faith and our community, you know, how we invite people, how we really make them feel welcome. And I think this is a key issue that we all need to approach, not only because of membership, but also because people need people. And that's a reality. So when we all found our, of course, our place where we pray, where we found where we have a communion, I think that's a very, very great to have found this family, as you said, the family away from home. Because most of us, when we haven't understood any Finnish yet, I think there's always the search for that feeling. And that's a very, very important part. I remember my first times to be in a church here in Finland. I didn't understand a word. I didn't understand anything. I didn't know if they were praying or they were reading or they were just talking about the sermon or something. It was completely different from my home church in Latin America. Completely different music, completely different way of praying, completely different way of approaching someone or greeting someone. So I think in that way, it's not just about the faith aspect, but it's also about the cultural aspect. How here is also important, the community of faith. How it is the culture of that? And I think it's changing, or we are changing, actually.
Yeah, we're changing. I think it's always a big joy to see that people have the opportunity to bring in some aspects from their own culture into, let's say, a worship service or a Bible study or just a gathering. Like when I remember the old days of Colorful Espoo, where we got together and simply ate food from countries where we'd never been and heard them sing and saw them dance and just realized that, yes, we're a big family from so many parts of the world. And then you can feel that the cultural differences are not keeping you apart, but they're actually drawing you towards one another. They don't become a threat, but they become an enriching factor. And that's something that we should see, of course, in our worship as well. I know many people who came to Finland in, let's say, the 1980s when I came, and they said that if they had not found the international church, they would have been terribly lost because it was so difficult to make friends, to have people, you know, take you by the arm and helping you further. And also particularly, and I think this is the strength of Christians and the Christian faith, it is the love that people can have for perfect strangers because of Christ, because they're Christians. Mm. And that is something that you sense even if you don't understand the word.
Yes. Exactly. I agree with you. There is something also that I feel that, of course, there's a lot of improvements that can be done. There's a lot of developments that can be done. I think that in other parts of England still is difficult to find an international community. I think that will take some time, of course. But it doesn't mean that there's no people interested. I think there will be people interested. I think there is people who are searching for that community, for that family. And I think also, like, it's good to now make the groundwork, what we have been doing or what we are doing right now. And I believe also that this is part of our mission. And this is a part of the missionary work that we are doing here in Finland. So the mission is not just abroad, as you mentioned. The mission is now here in Finland. A lot of people tend to, of course, look for their communities, especially here in capital area. You found those groups. And myself, for example, I have found a little bit, it's such a shame that there's no possibilities inside the church sometimes to have the multilingual services because there's no enough resources for it. There's no workers who speak, for example, Spanish or French. Or even English could be sometimes even difficult to find. So, and I think this little by little is changing. It's changing, and I hope also we can have more volunteers also who are like contributing to the community. And I think the congregation is the key of the church. It's the body of the church.
Yeah, and that's one of the issues that we have in the Finnish church. The Finnish church is so organized according to professional resources that for everything you do, you need to have some staff who is equipped to do it, who has a vision for it, and who has the time to do it. And so when you say you know, it would be great to have a Spanish-speaking community. You say, well, we don't have any pastors who speak Spanish. Well, you don't need pastors who speak Spanish. I've seen great things happen when the Finnish church has actually opened their doors for ministry in other languages, languages that we don't even know where they come from, somewhere in Africa, Asia, or wherever. And they just say, yes, come here and we will join you even though we don't know what you're doing. And just let the people do it. We talk a lot about, in the Lutheran church, about the priesthood of all believers. The fact that as Lutherans we believe there is no special group of people that are priests, but that we all are priests, as the Bible tells us. But then when it comes to organizing things like this, we suddenly build this wall again around the high priest of the church and say, you need one of these guys or girls to do it, and if we don't have them, just simply nothing will happen. Mm. And I've seen amazing things happen. When I was working, my first bilingual project, it was in Helsinki with the Church of Malmi. I talked to the local pastor there, and after an hour, she actually said, well, would you come and start this? We'll open our doors. One of our main services in the month will be bilingual. Let's just give it a try. And so they didn't need any extra resources for that. They just saw the opportunity because there was a volunteer who was willing to do it. And I think when we really look more carefully and are a little bit more open, we'll find lots of those volunteers. What I noticed when I came to the International Church, there were about half of the people were Finns. These were Finns that either were a bit tired about the way, you know, Finnish services were being held, or people who had been abroad and had come back and just realized this is not my culture anymore, or Finns married to foreigners, whatever. There's a lot of interest also in among Finns in forming a multicultural community. And so we should really be more open, more vocal about that, shout it out in the streets that, hey guys, you know, we're an international community, everybody's welcome, and let's do this together. Mm. And not just think that, you know, we don't have enough musicians, we don't have enough priests or pastors, we don't have enough this and that. Mm. It's if we just keep our eyes and our minds open, there's an awful lot that can happen almost by itself.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with you. There is, my own background as a Christian, of course I've been born as a Lutheran, but my church has been a quite small church, has been a minority church in a Catholic country, and a minority church, that means that you don't have resources, you don't have money, you don't even have a good place, you don't even have an organ to play music. So there has been situations that all is based on volunteers. Everything is based on volunteers. If there has been some donations or something, some support, then has been used for even for the electricity of the place, or even for the coffee that is gonna be shared after the service. Mm-hmm. Not even for a payment, not even for anything like this. So I also think a little bit about the future of the Finnish church. What is going to be? Is it going to be the internationals who are going to be the future of the Finnish church? This is something I think is a discussion, is an open topic that it should be talked, that our eyes should be also look about that. We will have more internationals living here. So is it our future? We have to build it in some way.
We have to build it in some way, and I think it should be our future, but there's another thing that I think the Lutheran Church in Finland woke up to that knowledge, that situation, far too late. When I came to Finland in 1980, all the English or international work had been delegated to the International Evangelical Church, which was an independent society with a Lutheran pastor. And the Finnish church was very happy. We don't have to bother because they will do it for us. We just give them some money. We give them a couple of places where they can have their services. And that's done. And that went on for far too long. whereas Pentecostals, Roman Catholics, Methodists, and all these other churches, they were very aware of the fact that growth takes place through immigration, and that they really welcomed it. They used first translation, then they started having English services or bilingual services and so forth. And so they actually are far ahead of the Church of Finland. And the Church of Finland, you know, woke up actually only in the past few years to this. So they have lost so much ground, which they could have taken if they had woke up to this situation and would have been open to take responsibility for this immigration flow that we've been seeing for the past 20, 30 years.
Yes. I also think that is also one aspect that is also very important to highlight is that many immigrants that they are Christians and they come from a Christian background. Most of us, as I explained my own background, most of us, we come from poor churches. We come from churches that everybody brings something to have the coffee after the church. Everybody does something. Everybody reads a Bible text. Mm. Somebody sings. Somebody plays the guitar. Somebody helps with the offering. Somebody's cleaning afterwards.
Well, actually, I come from the same background. Yeah. I was born in a Protestant church, a Protestant family in a city which was about 99% Roman Catholic. And so we had 200 people in a city of 60,000. And so we had one pastor, and all the other things were done by volunteers. And it was also financially a big burden, I would say, for most members to keep things up. But that's what I grew up with, and that's why this Finnish system where you have a paid staff worker for everything, it feels somehow strange. And I think that Finns have been too used to that, and therefore it's going to be very, very difficult to change the culture in our church and to start appreciating volunteers, also non-professionals. Let's say when you have music in the service, do they always have to be professionals that get paid for it? Or would you just have a bunch of enthusiastic people who make music together, a joyful noise to the Lord, as the psalm would say?
Yes.
So I think that it's going to be a hard lesson to learn, and I know there will be many people in the church that will never accept that. But then again, we have a new generation coming up, and I trust that the new generation will find it much easier to work with this kind of premises.
I also think that the gifts that people give in the end is something valuable. So in that way, I don't know if in traditional in the Finnish church has just been seen as donation and somebody pays the church tax and this as a member, right? But I mean, we don't have anything of this in other countries. We don't have any church membership. We don't have any taxes. We don't have anything about that. It's everything is about what you feel is what you do, and if you have, you share. And if you share, is for the community. And that's all about that. So I think also the spirituality part of that, I think the spirituality part is so important that people really do it from their heart. It's not force. It's not any paperwork to fill. So in that way, I think also it's a bit confusing sometimes here when people started to dig more about how I become Lutheran, how I become part of the church. Does this culture have something to do with it, that this is going to change in future? This is a good question. We don't know it yet. But I believe in some way it has to change. It has to change in some way.
Yeah, I think the whole idea about what membership is about is going to change. I remember this one interview on BBC that somebody was asked that, what church are you a member of? And then the woman said, well, I'm English, so I guess I'm Church of England, but didn't know anything about official membership. And another thing is in St. Matthew's International Lutheran Church in Helsinki, which I started 10 years ago, there's many people who would definitely say to everybody, I'm a member of St. Matthew's. but they're not a member of the Lutheran Church. They're not a member officially. They're not registered anywhere. Yeah. And for them, that's not the point. It's, I'm a member because I participate, I take responsibility, I share, I benefit from it. It's my family. And because we live as a family, I'm a member of this family, whether I've been officially adopted or not. Mm. And so that's also something that you say in the Finnish church, that's a bit of a threat, you could say, because the Finnish church is also interested in tax income. And those who will not officially register, they won't bring that tax income. So again, the interests are a little bit different, but the whole concept of what does it mean to be a member and how officially do you need to be a member before you can contribute to things like serving in the worship service, leading Bible studies or other small groups, even assisting in communion, which is a very sacred thing in the Lutheran Church. I mean, I did that already in the International Church when I was still very Dutch Reformed, when I had not joined the Lutheran Church, and it was not an issue.
Yeah, we had I have been part of these bilingual services here in Espoo, and this is also our focus a little bit into that, is that our services have been developing already for almost a decade now, I will say, or more.
More, 13 more. Years.
Yeah, more. Oof. It went very fast. So the development of the bilingual services has been, of course, something to see. We have had a lot of people with different background. We have had people coming from different faith groups as well. People who have converted into Christians. People who also have found their family, you know. People who have got baptized. We have had all this. Mm. We have had children growing up that now they are teenagers. They are going to, you know, confirmation schools and right. This and that. People who got married, people who got also find their partner, life partner there, you know. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's developing and it's growing. Of course, it can grow faster and bigger, but. Mm. But I believe we will have some steps, little by little, to see how it will grow. The importance is not just to focus that we are here in capital area, and of course we have everybody around here. But what about a small town, mm-hmm. a small place? I believe that will take more time.
It definitely will take more time. I got a call from somebody who was in my English church many years ago, and he moved far away, and then one time he called and says, now there's another foreign family, so could you contact the vicar and ask him to start international services? Mm. I said, well, for two families, I don't think they can do that, but so this is happening all the time, and it's going to take more effort, and particularly because the resources of the church are less. But then again, as I said, you shouldn't look first of all to what's the official status, who can do what in the staff, but more like how can the church be like a matchmaker connecting the people who want to be involved in an international community that uses more than one language. And I think that is something that if I ever go into mission work, I would like to, you know, go to talk to these churches outside of Ring 3 and in help them to get this off the ground, to realize that no, you don't have to speak English yourself. Try to get a few people in your church who are, you know, who know a little bit about cultures and who speak English, and just get started. Mm. And I think that's the future. It means that both the Finnish speaking and the foreign speaking people have to come out of their comfort zone. But if you meet somebody else who's out of the comfort zone, you feel much more comfortable.
Yes.
I mean, if you go to a church as a foreigner where they only speak Finnish, they are in their comfort zone, you're not. And then you feel that this is not for me, this is too difficult, I don't feel welcome. Mm. But if they come out of their comfort zone, you meet halfway. Yes. That's terrific. That's a really terrific experience. And it's like many times say, the Christian life is it's not living somewhere, it's walking. The Bible speaks always about our Christian walk. We walk together, Finns and foreigners. I was in Tanzania many, many years ago, and as I was on a walk, I met a local guy who only spoke Swahili. I only spoke English. And we talked for about half an hour together. And I was asked later on that, what did you talk about? And I said, I don't know what he talked about, but I talked about this, and we had a real good time together. So, I mean, you don't really need that common language if you have a common intention and a common ground. And I think Christian love and brotherhood, sisterhood, is such a strong common ground on which you can build a community. Mm. And that's what's so good about these churches here that use two languages, that even if you're a Finn who feels very uncomfortable with English, still you can join, get to know these people, get to befriend these people, help them to learn a few words of Finnish and maybe understand something of Finnish culture. It goes both ways. It's partnership in the true sense of the word.
Yeah, exactly. I also think the same. I mean, the main point of course, to have these bilingual services is that there's English and Finnish language. So that people also, like, we are not trying to make the church fully another foreign language. We are not trying to turn everybody to speak English. That's not the point. We are living in Finland. Mm-hmm. So in a way, we also live here. The reality also, there's a culture, local culture. So the language is a very key part of living here. And I think that this is part of integration as well, mm-hmm. right? To have the bilingual services, everybody's included, nobody's excluded in that way. So I think it's a learning, but it's also a feeling, because that's part of all. That creates all. I really also have to highlight that the services that have been developed, like now in Espoo and the capital area, is also very family oriented. And the families are welcome, and there's no any such a hassle that there's a little bit of noise because a child is there or playing or, you know, or something. Like, nobody will be angry about it or will look at you like wrongly about it, because everybody is more relaxed. Everybody knows that, hey, here's welcome. There's no any stiffness about it. And I think that changed a lot from the traditional services, from other kind of services, yeah, that are on the Sundays especially.
And to bring that about, for example, in Tapiola Church, what we did is put the kids' corner right in front, beside the altar.
Yes.
So kids really understand they're VIPs, very important people. And if you're not comfortable with the noise they make, you just sit on the other side of the church and you hear everything that's being said without the noise. But it's all the time that these kids are important. The parents can sit in their normal places and still watch the kids and have eye contact, and the kids can walk around and so forth and so forth.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that, of course, should be in the 10 o'clock service as well.
Yes. So these also is part of that. Like, I think church, for many of us who come from abroad, also is part of our family life. Mm. It's related to our family activity. And the Sunday services, especially for me, I grew up going to church with family. Mom was taking everybody on the church, my father, my brothers. We all went to church every morning on Sundays. And it was like that, like it was our family activity. That was our day for doing that. And our friends, and we met, you know, all the other families who were friends as well. So this is something that I think culturally, for many of us, is normal to have. Maybe for few Finns, that is not so common now here in Finland. And it's seen only as elderly people only goes to church. But I think this perspective, that can be changed. And I think that is also one nice part that the internationals can bring to Finland, to change this culture of going to church. It's not just for the elderly people, it's for everybody.
And that's right. And also the fact that it's not just 60 minutes of getting together, 30 minutes coffee, and then back home to your own thing. The culture where I come from, and I know it's many of our African friends, they're used to it that Sunday is church day. And
yes.
you start early and you go home late.
Yes.
And you just want, with different activities, including food and games and whatever, but you just want to stay together because this is the day when the family comes together.
Yes, yes.
And that's something that's missing. Here it's too much programmed, like, oh, our service cannot be more than 60, 70 minutes, and then we can have coffee until then, and then it's over.
Yes. I also think I agree with you. I know this. But I think this is something that we will see with time. I hope we can also contribute to this culture, you know, of faith also, because I also think that it has to change in some way that includes everyone. And it doesn't need to look like something boring or negative or something that I don't do that or we don't do that. And I think this has been quite long here. So it has been left just for the elderly people, and that looked like, well, that's only for the elders, not for me. But I think that it lose all the positive part of it, and the spiritual life is lost. It's lost in it. So, but I believe we will have newcomers. We will have the mission continues. So that's not going to end here. It's good to talk about this. I hope also our leadership listens very carefully about all these issues, how important it is, because it's not just the big church who decides. Mm. It's also the local small parishes. They should include, they should open up their doors. I will hope that.
And then still more, then it's not only the parishes, but then it's the question is, are they doing something that the people respond to? I mean, you can organize great international work, but if nobody wants to come and participate, it doesn't work. The other thing is that what in Helsinki they understood very well is that when you have an international service, a bilingual service, it's sort of a laboratory where you can test out new things before you bring them into your main service. And so it's a sort of a painless way and a riskless way to introduce new things and to see how does this work and how to refine it and then say, well, we've got something that works really well. Let's introduce this into our main service.
Yes. Well, I think this has been very interesting discussion. Thank you for coming, Hans. I think we're going to finish here. But we will probably continue with this. Would you like to invite people for all the bilingual services that we are having? Do you like to say something?
Definitely. Actually, we hope that you might come every Sunday. We have every Sunday a bilingual service somewhere in Espoo. It's in Matingula on the first Sunday at 5 o'clock, and second Sunday it's in Suvila, which is in the center of Espoo. It's at 3 o'clock, and then 5 o'clock again on the third in Tapiola Church, and on the fourth Sunday in Karakapli, which is Leppävaara, again at 3 o'clock. It's a bit confusing, but you find all this information on the internet. And they're all bilingual services. If we have, in all these services, we have something for kids, either kids club or Sunday school or something like that. And of course, time to be together for coffee and tea and get to know other people. And we also accept that we welcome you for services. We also welcome you to be a part of the community and to use your gifts and your talents to develop this work and to invite others and make sure that everybody who's there will feel very welcome and part of the family.
Yeah, thank you for this. And well, we will put all this information and the link here in the description of this episode. And well, this was our podcast Soul of Espoo. Thank you all for listening. And this was Family Away from Home, a very close topic to us, but also something to keep an eye on. Welcome everybody to the bilingual services in Espoo and also in the capital area of Finland. So this was David Cáceres, and once again, thank you for listening to this podcast. It will be on Spotify, YouTube, and our social media channels. Thank you, and bye-bye.
Goodbye. Yeah.